Here this morning, we had Sunday school, thank you for that song. I love it, you guys harmonize wonderfully. Thank God for it, I love to hear that kind of singing, that gets me going, gets me fired up. You go, man, you're gonna get fired up again, I'm always fired up when it comes to the Lord. There ain't nothing better to get fired up about but Jesus Christ, about the Lord, what he's done in our lives, and I thank God for it. But a little bit of quick update, Liberty Behind Bars, you know, we are starting a ladies' home. Why are we starting a ladies' home? Well, there's quite a few reasons, but I know being in the ministry for 7 years and traveling around, there's three type of people that are being left out. First, we have the Spanish people that are not being taken care of like they should in jail and prison, ministry-wise, okay? They're just not, they're being left to themselves. And so there's nobody really working in there. I just met a guy, I think his last name is Proctor. He's now going to jails and prisons, and that's all he does is Spanish ministry. It's a blessing to me to hear that. I love to hear that we have a Spanish-speaking person going in there. The second are veterans. Pray, because our veterans do break the law, though they serve our country, and we thank them for it. I love them for it. They end up in jail or prison. They also need Jesus Christ. They're being left to themselves. There's nobody out there personally working with them. And, you know, it's hard to understand a veteran who's been through things. We don't have that understanding unless you've been through it. And so it's good to get some people called up back to the veterans. And third is our ladies. Ladies in jail and prison are being left to themselves. All help, a lot of the help is focused on the men. Obviously, that's because there's a lot of men that are in jail and prison. But does that mean we leave the ladies to themselves? Oh, God forbid, these ladies need help. And so a lot of them need help to learn what it is to be a mother. A lot of them need to know, you know, what it is to be a wife. They have no clue what any of that kind of stuff is. And so we're going to take this beautiful, wonderful King James Bible. We're going to have a house opened up for them, and we're going to teach them. We're going to hold them by their hand, and we're going to show them how to do that, okay? And God has already, we already started raising that money. I think we're about almost to $26,000 right now towards a home, which we're going to purchase. That way we don't have a mortgage. We'll get the ladies in that home. We do have house parents that are already going to live in that home. We're going to buy a duplex or a two-family home and have that for the parents that will be always be on site outside of everybody else that's working in their life. We do have more information on that. You just tell me and I'll go in a van and get it so you have an idea of what's going to go on in that ministry home, what's going to take place and such. And so be in prayer on that. We need about $100,000 to get this going. We've already acquired a lawyer to help in that aspect of it because that's what they deal with. So, you know, we got to keep that in the law. Though we're going to be fully supported by church people and, you know, God's people, we're not going to have the government involved in this whatsoever. They start putting their hands and stuff, and, well, you know where it goes from there. And so we'll just go ahead and leave that alone. And so, anyway, pray for us on that. Pray that God give us direction with house. We want it to be from the Lord. We don't want it to be of ourselves. And things are always better when God is involved.
Amen.
Things are always better when we can go ahead and put God first and say, you make that decision for us, Lord. It takes that pressure off of us. Okay? Where I don't have to worry about that pressure. And God can worry about it. God can pick that house. And we'll just see what he does from that aspect. But we know right now that God has already pointed us in that direction and has us going that way. So that's just a little bit what's going on again. If you want any more information, let me know. I will get it. I have it in the trunk of the vehicle. And you can see what kind of programs, I don't know if I call it a program more than what kind of lessons, what kind of things that we have. I don't like the word program.
Yeah.
Man, I hate that word program after being in jail and prison my whole life. Because everything's a program. Program, program, program. You know, programs never changed me, man. It was, you know, Jesus Christ, the RU program. It was an RU program, brother. Excuse me. It was an RU ministry that I realized that I was lost.
Yeah.
It was an RU program. The reason why I like RU here with Brother Chris is because he'll keep it in the King James.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just the reality. There's a lot of ministries out there that aren't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
They carry a name and then all of a sudden you realize, wow, they've went somewhere else. And they've, you know, gone off in this direction, gone off on that direction. Why? Because they see more of a crowd than they can get, okay?
Yeah.
Many people are worried about that crowd. They're worried about what people think of them. Well, there's more money here if we do this, and there's, you know, more people here if we go that way. I'm not worried about that. If it's just me and Jesus Christ and the King James Bible, I'm happy.
Amen.
Okay? I don't need nothing else. This world doesn't make me happy. It's made me depressed, turned me into a drug addict, alcoholic, left me for dead, put me in jail and prison, tried to forget about me. Why do I care about what the world or people think about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, how many of those people you think took care of my commissary? How many of them you think came and visited?
Yeah.
How many of you would say, hey, why don't you come into our house? We're going to help you get off of these drugs. Why don't you come live with us? Nobody. Nobody's done that. And so I don't care what people think. Look at this. Psalm 37. I'm going to move that just a little bit. Psalm chapter 37. Let's just spend a few minutes here in the Word of God, because that's where it's at. That's where our victory is at. This is where we can learn. If you don't come to church expecting God to show up and teach you something, then what'd you come here for?
Yeah, come on.
Did you just come and talk and, you know, gather around a fellowship? Those things are good. But look, it's about coming here and hearing what God has to say. Not me. Don't listen to me. I ain't got nothing for you. But God sure has something for you out of that Bible. And He can show us some things. He can teach us some things. That's why He gave us this Bible, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible. He gave us an instruction manual on how to run our life. He gave us an instruction manual on how we can do things. Because look, God's ways are always better. They will always go better. They will always be healthier for us. I mean, there are many things that are good for us that's coming out of this Bible. So look at Psalm chapter 37, and we'll start in verse 1. And here's what 10 basic things that God has given us in Psalm chapter 37. First, we see, He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. He says, fret not. To fret means to be agitated, to be agitated, to be disturbed, to be irritated, or to be made angry. He says, fret not over what evil people were doing out there. Don't let that stuff bother you. You see, today Christians, how come he can get away with this, or how come he can get away with that? How come they can do that? Because they're not a child of God. Why do you let that bother you, what they're getting away with? It says, fret not yourself. Don't let yourself get agitated. Don't let yourself get irritated on what wicked people are doing. They're going to do that. They're doing exactly what the Bible says they're going to do. Why don't you do what the Bible tells you to do, and you'll be less worried about them? But today we fret ourselves over every little. I've never met such thin-skinned people in my life. Bro, I go out there in the streets and I talk to people, man, and they walk around like they're the big gangster, and you say something to them. Whoa. What is that nonsense? What happened to them? Hey, brother, what happened to those people who had some thick skin, man? I mean, my goodness. And then you travel around churches, man, and you say things, and man, they get all worked up and angry. He says, fret not. He says, fret not over, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In other words, don't let the unsaved or don't let the people around you get to you. It harbors bitterness, it harbors anger, and it harbors wrong thoughts towards people. Look at church people are people. They're human beings. Yeah. They're gonna do you wrong.
Yeah.
You ever? A sad fact. Many people I see out in the world today, I say, why are you out of church? Well, you know, that somebody did such and such or said such and such, or I think they're thinking this. I said, well, did that stop you from going to Walmart?
Yeah.
Does that stop you from going to the stores? Does that stop you from going to work? But all of a sudden, because a church person does it, it's the worst thing that can ever happen. No, my friend. No, they're human beings. I'm not giving them an excuse, but they're humans just like you are. You mean to tell me you're perfect and walk on water?
Yeah.
Oh, don't let that fret you. Don't let that get to you. You're not here for them. You're here for Jesus Christ. You're here for the Bible. You're here to learn and get things. You mean to tell me you can't come to church and get something? Babe, if we would have let everything fret us that goes on in church, we wouldn't be in church today.
Yeah.
But I learned how to just go ahead and put that stuff to the side and say, you know, I'm not here for them. You know what my pastor told me? He said, just shut your mouth and quietly prosper.
Yeah.
Let them do what they're going to do. God will take care of it.
Yeah.
Thank God for a man who can give us some wisdom on how to just shut our mouth and go with it. Because I'll tell you what, when I first started going into Black Creek Baptist Church, the judgments.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, if you understood what people used to say about me and how fearful they were about me and my family and how angry they would get because our children would tear up the songbooks.
Yeah.
And a little old lady. Bless her heart and thank God, because we weren't church people. We had no clue about church. Understand that when we went in there. And our children were tearing up them church books. And a little old lady, you know what she'd do? She'd go back and get that book and she'd go get it fixed. Never said a word to anybody, just slip it back in the pew. Why? Because she wasn't worried about that. She knew there was lost people in that church and they needed help.
Yeah, amen.
Huh. What to God people get like that today? It ain't. It ain't. I don't care what church you go to. There's already somebody. But look, don't let that fret you. Why? Because all it's going to do is harbor bitterness and anger. It's going to give you thoughts. Instead of fretting, start praying that God touches their lives. Maybe they'll see that maybe they're treating you wrong. Maybe by you praying will help them. Instead, we let it disturb us. We let it get every. Don't let it get under your skin. It happens out there. It's going to happen in here.
Yeah, amen.
Should it happen as much in here? No, it should not, but it just does.
Yeah.
It's part of life. Learn how to deal with that. And I thank God, because boy, if I ever let the things that go on in churches stop me from going to church, I'd never be in a church again.
Yeah.
That's a reality. It's learning how. Anyway, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Fret not. Don't let them things disturb you. Don't let them agitate you. Don't let them get to you. Pray about it. Pray for the people. Go and talk to the people. Go and ask them, hey, why are you doing this? Why are you thinking this? Why are you saying that? I believe there's sometimes that I made accusations that were very wrong. They were off. I'd say, hey, why are you doing this to me? And the person would go, oh my goodness, is that how you took it? My pastor says that it's not how a person says it. It's how that person takes it.
Yeah.
And maybe there's times in our lives we don't realize that we may be doing something to somebody and don't even realize that they're taking it that way.
Yeah.
So we as more mature Christians have to be careful on how we carry ourselves, how we say things, how we maybe point things out. I cannot go when these ladies come home from that from jail or prison or come home from rehab. I can't go out there and crush them with pointing things out to them like that. Yeah. It'll destroy them.
Yeah.
I have to be careful on how I handle that. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it. But if I don't handle it right, it's sure going to mess them up. And we as mature Christians need to learn how to do that. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look what it says in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Just realize this, guys. God is not deceived. We are. Okay, we're the ones who are deceived. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. What is a fornicator? Unmarried sex, okay? Idolaters, somebody who has adultery in their heart. It could be money. It could be anything. Nor adulterers. We know what that is. That's cheating on your husband and your wife. Nor effeminate. That's not a homosexual. Effeminate is a man who now reacts on a woman's emotions. That's what we have going on today. Somebody who's effeminate. Why? Because men today have lost their place. Nobody's taught them how to react. Men were created with an intellect. Understand that. They also have emotions. Women are emotionally charged beings, and we thank God that they are. Are you intellectual, honey? My wife is smarter than I'll ever be, but she has emotions, okay? And those emotions rule her. That's why Eve was deceived, because of her emotions, okay? The intellect is what man was created on, with emotions. Guess what happens? Today, women are going with women. Why? Because there's no man that they can look to. They act just like them.
Yeah.
Men today, we act on their emotions and not their intellect. The very first thing they hear something wrong, bang! Ah! Ah! What the world?
Yeah,
my good, man, go visit in jail. You want to talk about some effeminate men in jail? It never was like that. Them men held themselves like men. I mean, not the right way, but they weren't effeminate like that. Today, my goodness, it's effeminate. Why? They react on their emotions. They're not thinking. They're not thinking it through at all. And so what has to happen? That woman has to stand up and now act like she's the man.
Yeah.
Most young boys are being raised by all ladies. They're not being taught manhood. My mother can't teach me what it is to be a man. She can only try to guide me in a direction. My mother had to show me how it was to shave. I had no clue how it was to shave. But my mother's teaching me to shave. Why? Men are no longer there.
Yeah.
So how is a young boy going to grow up who's taught by women, lives with a woman, goes to school with all ladies? How do you think he's going to act? Effeminate.
Yeah.
He's going to react on his emotions just like a lady would. And now guess what happens? Now the ladies have to take the place of the man, and then now they have to come and try to run that home. God didn't create us that way. nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What a disgusting filth it is today. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were. You see that word were? That is huge in the Bible. That means you're not that anymore.
Amen.
If you're still a were, you ain't there yet. Okay? Because such were some of you. Now those things are past tense. Those things aren't. I am not who I used to be. Those things that I did in my past are not who I am today.
Amen.
Okay? And those things in my past don't dictate who I am today. Jesus Christ does. But so many people live in their past. I did it for years. Before I got saved, I lived in my past. It was about my past. Well, because of my past, because of this person, because of that, because of this, I had an excuse for everything. Why? That's not who I am today. That's who I was.
That's right.
And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Thank God I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm just going to say this. If you get blood on your shirt, it's going to be stained and ruined forever. But if the blood of Christ gets on you, you'd be the whitest it's ever been.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because you're washed in the blood. He cleanses that stuff. He forgives that stuff. It's gone. It's not there anymore.
Amen.
Stop living in it. Your past ain't going to help your future with Christ.
Right.
Let that stuff go. You got to learn how to... Well, it's under the blood. You don't live like it's under the blood.
Right.
You live like you've always lived. You just learn how to put some little cloaks on and call it Christianity.
Yeah.
If it's forgiven and it's washed, then you're washed. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed and you are sanctified. You know what that word sanctified means? It means you're set apart. People can tell when you're set apart. They can tell that you have a different life. I don't have to go out there and exclaim to everybody, look at my new life. They can just naturally see it.
Yes.
Why do I have to go out there and just yell it? I don't put bumper stickers on my car that I'm a Christian. If they can't tell by the way I act, just because I have tattoos on me doesn't mean that I can't be a Christian. I have more people approach me than I do any pastors that I know.
Yeah, come on.
Why? Because I go out there and treat people like they need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't care how much a waitress makes a mistake. I don't care what that lady looks like standing there, sitting there at that the cashing out. I don't care what people do. I want them to see Jesus Christ in me.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Help me.
I don't want them to see who I was because that's not who I am. And such were some of you. It says that you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means when I stand there before God, he's just going to look at me and says, oh, you have already been justified in Jesus Christ. It's done. It's over with. It's finished. He's not going to judge me for those things.
Amen.
I've been forgiven.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Been forgiven for that stuff. Why? Because he says, in such were some of you, and by the Spirit of our God. Well, look at verse 3 in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, turn back there. You might want to hold your finger there for a few minutes because we're going to turn back and forth. Well, I'll read through verse 2 and it says this. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of what's going on with them. Well, you know, it seems like they can always pay their bills and it seems like everything's going just fine with them. Understand this. This is their reward.
Yeah.
If you're a born-again person, this is not your reward. Why are you worried about what they get? Let them have it. You're not taking it with you anyway.
Amen.
We live like we're going to take this nonsense with us. Thank God I'm not bringing nothing. I thank God that I'm not bringing my home with me. I thank God I don't have to worry about bringing a vehicle with me. I thank God that I don't have nothing on this planet that I have to bring with me.
Amen.
People live, brother, like they're going to bring this stuff with them. They get angry because, well, you know, that person's out there and they're getting this and they're living that way. They're not a child of God. You have to understand that.
Yes.
They're doing naturally what you used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a saved, born-again person, you don't do the things that you used to do. Those things come out of your life.
That's right.
Okay? So then when you look back at somebody else and go, why are they doing it? Because they're doing what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to be doing what a child of God does. How else would people tell you that you're a Christian if you're not doing what God tells you to do?
Yeah.
But we worry about fretting against others and we're envious against the workers of iniquity. And verse 2 says, and for they soon should be cut off like the grass and wither as a green herb. If you listen, if you're saved here tonight, today, you're not going to wither away. Your body's going to die and you're going to be resurrected and you're going to be in heaven for eternity. Let go of this stuff. It's not going to do you any good.
Amen.
Who cares? Oh, well, you know, President Joe Biden, who cares? God put him in office. I never heard so many people cry and whine about who's in office. Who cares? God warned you that these things are going to happen. They're going to come, almighty Christian. It's not a wonder that during COVID people ran from us. It's not a wonder since Joe Biden has been in office and all we do is complain and not pray for his salvation that people aren't even looking to us because they don't believe in our God. Why would they believe in such a wimpy God? Did God not allow Joe Biden to be in office or not?
Yeah.
It's a punishment against America.
Yeah.
He allowed it to happen, and yet we whine and cry. Let me just say this. I don't believe in one thing that man has to say. He's a puppet.
Yeah, amen.
But I sure ain't fretting about what he's doing.
Right.
Because he's been put in place by Almighty God. Did it catch God by surprise that he was put in office? Well, that's how we live. Shame on us Christians. Let me just tell you this. If you think for one second that President Trump gets in, he's going to change anything, you got another story coming. We're living in the end times. It's going to head downhill from this point forward. Oh, buddy Trump, well, he's your God. People get angry when I say that, but let me just tell you this. If we're living in the end times, like I believe this Bible says, it's not going to get better. I don't care who's in office.
Yeah, come on.
And I would vote for Trump if he ran, okay? I mean, just tell you where I stand, but I'm just going to tell you now, it ain't going to be a miracle thing. It's still going to go downhill because God says, I'm coming back. I'm going to blow that Trump. You better be ready.
That's right.
You know how you know you're not ready? Because you let everything in this world bother you. Like you're going to take it with you. Let it go. Put it in God's hands. Let him take care of it. He's so almighty in our lives. And he's so big and wonderful. And we, where is that at in your life? All we do is fret. Yeah. I've never seen so many fretting Christians in my life. Yeah. Let it go. Let God. You ever heard that term? Look at it says in verse 3. Here's where the problem is. Trust in the Lord. The definition of trust is to confide in, to place confidence in, to rely upon. Trust in who, man? Trust in our president. Oh, trust in our vote. It doesn't say any of that. It says trust in the Lord. That's where we're supposed to put our trust as children of God. As I grew up, I put my trust in my mother that she was going to take care of me. That's just an example. But anyway, look, as a young child, my children learned how to trust me that they were going to take care of me. They confided in me. They relied on me to take care of them. We're called children of God, but why don't we trust in God that way?
Right.
Our lives show us what we trust in. We're trusting in our, well, I got a good home. My bills are paid. My God, one day, God's going to come along and he's going to yank that carpet from underneath and he's going to show you really where your heart is.
Yeah.
God's had to do that to me. I've shared that with people here in this church before. Well, God, in our comfort, has come along and he's yanked that rug out from underneath. He says, now will you stand with me?
Amen.
It's not in our comfort where we stand with God. It's in that place where out of our comfort zone where we really know where we stand. If somebody was to come up to your son, if somebody was to come up to that wonderful boy that God has given me, that needed Jesus Christ, by the way, on his own, he can't punch a ticket because I was in church or because I was a preacher. He needed his own salvation.
Yeah.
But if somebody was to put a gun to his head, would to God today, and told me to denounce Christ, would I be able to handle that? Don't sit here and say, oh yeah, I could, like you can speak it because you've never had it happen to you. You don't know how you'd react. Yeah. Would to God by his grace and mercy, I'd say, I'm not denying Jesus Christ. Would to God, it would be by his strength and his mercy only that I'd ever be able to withstand anything like that. But if it came to that, are we willing to allow that to happen, to show God where we stand? My friends, the times that we're in, it's going to be soon. And we won't have copies of this anymore.
Yeah.
My pastor told me when I got saved 12 years ago, he said, Dale, hide the word of God in your heart. He goes, they're going to put us in concentration camps, and there's not going to be a Bible around. Will you still be able to teach people in a concentration camp without a Bible? And I went to great lengths to study and learn this book and put it here, here, here.
Amen.
How about you? How about if today they took this Bible away and you were going to go into concentration camp? Could you hold a Bible study and get people to Christ and show them where they stand? You know why most people can't? Because they're worried about what's going on in this world. They're fretting. They're worried about the evildoers. They're worried about everything else except for what God has told us to do.
Amen.
You ought to know this book. You ought to know this book and put it in your heart that you may be able to help somebody else when the day comes that we don't have that. But you know what that's going to take? It's going to take trust in the Lord. You know what? When you trust in somebody else, that means you totally take your hands off of it.
Yeah.
How many of you are really in here today are really trusting the Lord?
Yep.
With those hard, difficult decisions we have to make, things we face, medical decisions that come, anything. How many are really trusting in the Lord? That means you're taking your hands off of it and saying, go ahead, Lord.
Help us, Lord. Help
us. It's all yours. Trusting in the Lord. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trusting in Him, it's not for what we can do, it's for what He can do. If we look at that, the definition of trust, it's to confide in, to place our confidence, and to rely on. Understand what I just said, those three things. To confide in, place confidence, and rely on. It has nothing to do with ourselves and everything to do with Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing to do with ourselves. When we trust in Him, that means we're just taking our hands off and saying, it's all You, Lord. Wherever You want us to go, whatever You want us to do. And be careful when you pray that, because He answers that.
Amen.
I always tell young converts, be careful what you pray, because God will mark your lips and He'll hold you accountable to it. I remember the day me and my wife, after she got saved, 6 months after me, we knelt down next to her bed and we held hands as young, immature Christians, had no clue what we were praying, Mike. And we just said, Lord, wherever You want us to go, however You want us to go, You open the door and we'll go, oh my goodness, didn't He hold us accountable to that?
Amen.
And He put me in a place that I was not, you think I was looking to go back into jail and prison?
Yep.
He was like, oh, you know, it would have been good for you to go back in jail and prison. I didn't want to.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That wasn't the ministry I would have picked. I was doing just fine teaching 9th through 12th grade Sunday school with my wife.
Amen.
But you know what he said? Remember those words you said to me, Dale, next to the bed. I said, Lord, I do. You do it then.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that took? A trust.
Yeah, come on.
I got trust issues as an ex-convict, as an ex-addict. I got trust issues severely because of what my mother did to me. Severe trust issues. But you know what? God didn't say, trust in me only if you feel like it.
Yeah.
Trust in me only if things are going well. Trust in me only if you grew up in a good Christian home. Trust in me if only things ever went good in your life. That's what He said. No matter what we've been through in our past, He's expecting us to trust Him today.
That's right.
I said, Lord, how am I going to do this after having 16 back surgeries, neck surgeries, and how am I ever going to do this? How can I get through each day, Lord? My grace is sufficient for me.
Amen.
He brought me to Paul. Paul was stoned, shipwrecked. Paul, they left him for dead. Think about what Paul went through, being bit by vipers. How much pain medicine do you think Paul took?
Yep. Come on.
People don't believe me when I preach on that. Look, I don't take pain medicine.
Yeah.
Any doctor on the planet would give it to me because of all the metal I have in my body. They'd give it to me in a heartbeat. They'd tell me it's going to help me, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So how am I going to get through it? Lord, how am I going to get through this? God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
You know what that means? I had to trust Him with my medical issues. I had to trust Him with my life. I had to trust Him that, Lord, You can get me through these things because I'm going to travel. We traveled last year 7,200 miles in one trip, sitting in a vehicle with all that inside of my body with no pain medicine. What did that come to? It came to a place where I had to trust God because He told me that I could trust Him.
Yeah.
People hate to hear that. Well, you know, I have this special excuse and I have this. No. As long as you hold on to that excuse, you'll hold on to what you've always been.
Yeah.
Just saying. Trusting God does not mean trusting in yourself.
Right.
Look what it says here in 1 John 4:18. Either we believe these verses, we believe the Bible, or we don't. And I'm going to finish up here in a minute. 1 John chapter 4:18. Trust Him for what He can do. He's God. He's not small and powerless. In your heart, can you trust Him? 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. How about that? Why are so many Christians fearful today? Why are so many of them living in so much fear of no matter what it is? It's always fear for Christians. Can a Christian live in fear? Of course they can. You know what that tells us? They're not living in the will of God. They're living in what they trust. They're living in what they believe in. They're living, why? That's what brings that fear. And notice what it says here. It says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. The translators in there didn't put torture. Because in torture sessions, there's breaks. Torment means it's a continual thing. That's why it's called eternal torment. The flames of hell never stop. You're going to burn for eternity. It will never stop. That's why the translators put torment in there. Because when a person is trapped in fear, that's what their life is. They're caught in a torment.
Yeah.
Fear is a torment. Fear stops many people from doing the things they should. Yeah. Fear stops people from trusting. You read the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and it says the fearful and unbelieving are going to be cast into hell.
Yeah.
Who? The fearful and unbelieving.
Yeah.
Fear is a torment that people live on earth because of what happened in their past life, because of an experience they've had in their life. What does that mean? They're not trusting the Lord. They don't believe that the Lord can do this. Therefore, they're trapped in a fear. And that fear is an absolute torment. It's wondering why people are trapped in depression, why they have to be on medicines, and why they have to be on this. Why? Because they're in a continual fear.
Yeah.
It's a torment that they face here on earth. And if they're not saved, that torment has only begun. I thank God that Jesus Christ gives victory out of that fear. And I don't have to live in that. Why? Because His perfect love casteth out all fear. Not some fear. Not the fear that we choose. All fear. The problem is we don't trust it.
No.
Do you imagine if we trusted Christ, how much less fear we'd have in our life?
Amen.
If you're caught in that cycle of fear, it's because you don't trust God what He can do. Oh, you're just talking that. Am I? I live it. I live it. I don't just talk it. I live it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I believe it. And if you believe this Bible like you say you do, it demands an action.
Amen.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Yep.
That comes with trust.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with the trust. A believer lives in fear when they live outside the perfect love and trust in Christ. And I'm going to close with Psalm chapter 37. Tell me one more time in Psalm chapter 37, and we'll start wrapping this up in verse 4. So it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, do good. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know why people don't trust in God? Because they don't delight themselves in God. They don't delight themselves in the things of God. They don't delight themselves in the things of the Lord. They don't, you know, they come to church and they put on a show of how much they delight in the things of God. And but then when they leave here, they go home and they live like they have no delight in God whatsoever. He's not in all their thoughts. He's not in anything that they do. He's not in anything they say. You look at it, you listen to their conversation, you go, if that's a Christian, why would I want that? Because they're not delighting themselves in the things of God. Now look, we can't talk about God 24 hours, 7 days a week, but you sure can think about it. You can sure delight yourself in the things that He's done in your life.
Yeah.
You know what the delight means? That means take it off of yourself and put it on Him.
Yeah.
Who cares about what? He's got it all. Delight in Him because He gave it all. He paid it all so that you can have it all. He gave it all up. He came to earth so that you can have everything that you have. And yet we can't delight in Him? Why is He always the last one we delight in? Why is it at times I delight in you over my God? Why is it that I delight in my children and ministry over God?
Yeah.
because we get our eyes affixed in the wrong place. And he says, delight myself in the Lord. Delight means to have or take great pleasure in, to be greatly pleased or rejoiced in. When we don't fret over the world and we trust in the Lord, it's easy to have pleasure in what God is doing in our lives. Delighting in the Lord and trusting in Him in our lives, our desires will change and we'll be more and more like Him and less like us. You know, you get some time, read the rest of Psalm 37, 1 through 8. There are 10 basic things that God gives us in Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 8 that can help us in our Christian walk. Look at our answers. We can search everywhere on this planet, but He's already given us a treasure in our hand. He's already given us the answers in our hand. Today, the problem is we got Google or whatever else you use, okay?
Yeah.
That we'd rather turn, hey, Google, how do you, I better not say it too loud, oh my God. Hey, Google or Alexa, how can this or how can that or who did this or who did that? Search it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Stop being so lazy.
Amen.
We become very lazy when it comes to our studying and our reading. We rely on what everybody else has to say. We want to rely, why? Because everybody else already done it, so now I can just enjoy it. No. There ain't no enjoying the Lord that way. It's just somebody giving you an answer. You know, I help a lot of people in jail and prison when they get home on the street, and I give them answers to things. You know what? They don't live it. Why? Because God didn't give it to them.
Yeah.
God didn't show them that.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not the same to them as it is me. I'll look at you, Brother Steve, and go, well, you know God, blah, blah, blah. And you look and go, huh? Why? Because it didn't help you like you helped me. God wants to show you that. God, He's given that to you in our answer. So
yeah.
Read the rest of Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 8, and see how God helps you. Brother.